This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is What God Expects of Fathers.
How many of you took driver's ed? Let me just see. In school, you took driver's ed and learned how to drive. All right, amen. How many of you took father's ed? Father's ed in school. How many of you took father's ed? None of you. Why? Because there is none. There is nothing to teach a man how to be a father unless you come here. Amen. So guess what we're going to do today? We're going to talk about how to be a father. We're going to talk about what God's expectations for fathers are. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You'll remember the situation that the people of Judah had been threatened. A huge army had come against them, and King Jehoshaphat called for an assembly to come before the Lord to pray for God's deliverance. He called the whole nation together. Come, let us gather together and seek the face of God. And they came and they stood praying before the Lord. And as they were gathered there praying, God touched one man by the name of Jehaziel and spoke through him. And he said, listen, all of you, all Judah, King Jehoshaphat, God is going to deliver you. If you will just position yourselves as God has commanded, he is going to deliver you from this host and you won't even have to fight the battle. And the next day, they went out as God had commanded, and they went to the place where the battle was to be fought. And God caused their enemies to ambush one another. They didn't even have to fight. The enemy killed themselves. Now, wasn't that a great day? Wasn't that a great time? Think about it. The whole nation bowing before God. The king himself bowing before God. If you were there, you would remember that the rest of your life. Amen? Now, what I want you to see is this. There were not only men there on that day. There were not only women there on that day. But look again at verse 13. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. The kids were there. And they had an experience that changed their life. They were impacted by what they saw that day for the rest of their life. Seeing their father, seeing their mother, seeing the king, all the people bowing before the Lord in prayer for deliverance, and then seeing God come through. They had to be changed by that. And the thing that I want you to see today is the reason why the children were there. Do you know why the children were there? Let me tell you why they were there. They were there because their fathers brought them there. If their fathers had not brought them there, their children would have missed out on the most important event of their lives. What is the title of our message today? Who can tell me? What's the title of our message? What God Expects of Fathers, amen? What God expects of fathers. That's what this message is all about. Let me give you the answer to that question in a nutshell. God expects fathers to be the spiritual leaders in their household who on a continuing basis will bring their wives and children into an encounter with God that will change their lives forever. That's what God expects of fathers. Let me say it again. God expects fathers to be the spiritual leaders in their household who on a continuing basis will bring their wives and children into an encounter with God that will change their lives forever. God intends for men to be the spiritual leaders in their homes. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. God has called a man to be the head of his family, the head of his household. Now, what does it mean to be the head? Think about this for a moment. When you walk, and especially if you are really trying to get someplace, how do you walk? What do? If you're trying to really get someplace, you go like this, isn't that right? In other words, what's leading the way? Your head, isn't that right? And where your head goes, the body follows. That's what it means to be the head. God has placed men as the head of their families, not so they can be the boss. The key to headship is that the head goes first and the rest of the body follows. In other words, a biblical leader is not the one who bosses everybody around. He's the one who goes out in front and draws his family with him. And that's what God expects of a father. Biblical leaders primarily lead by example and not by giving orders. Father, if you're going to be the head of your house, you know where it starts? It starts with the example that you give. It starts with you being the one who's willing to step out in front in spiritual matters and say to your wife, say to your kids, wife, little Johnny, little Susie, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, you know something that characterizes the church in the 21st century? Look around for a moment. Look around at everybody that's here. This is an abnormal church this morning. This is an abnormal church. Do you know why this is an abnormal church this morning? We got just about as many men as women in the service today. Amen? And for the church in the 21st century, that is abnormal. You know why? The women come and the men stay home and watch TV. Amen? Or stay in bed. And you know why that is? Nobody ever taught them what it means to be a father. Nobody ever taught them what it means to take the lead. Do you know, catch it, you can't stay home and send your family to church and be the father that God intended you to be. When I was growing up, our church had a church bus that went around to pick up the kids for Sunday school. And I'll tell you, I used to ride that bus. Amen? And there is nothing wrong with a church bus to pick up kids for Sunday school. It's a good thing. Perhaps God one day will cause us to move in that direction. Praise God. But let me tell you something. And I don't want to step on anybody's toes. My own mom put me on that bus. But I have to tell you something. If you are a parent who habitually puts your child on a bus to send them to Sunday school, you are an irresponsible parent. Now, if anybody's toes are hurting, you know, just keep still and nobody will know. Amen? If you are a parent who sends your children to Sunday school, who sends your children to church, instead of leading the way and saying, come with me, you are an irresponsible parent. Because understand what your child is learning. This is something the kids do. And when I get older, I'm going to stay at home just like mom and dad. Amen? Isn't that right? See, God set this thing up so that it will only work the way it's supposed to work when the parents and the father in particular is not saying, you go do what I say, but is saying what? You come follow me and do what I do. That's God's calling on parents in general and fathers in particular. Number one, you need to lead your children into the assembly of God. Number two, you need to lead your children to faith in God. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Look at verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. You know what those fathers demonstrated to their children that day? They demonstrated what it means to believe in God. The enemy was coming. Everybody's wondering, what can we do? God said, here's what I want you to do. And they went out and did what God told them to do. They believed in God. A parent, a father, needs to lead his children in faith in God. Let me show you a passage that I really love that demonstrates that. Go over to Acts chapter 16. Look at start with verse 29. Paul and Silas had been preaching in Philippi. And Paul had cast a demon out of a young slave girl who was making money for her masters. And when that demon came out, she could no longer make money. And the upshot of it was that Paul and Silas were thrown into jail. And they were beaten, had stripes on their back. Their backs were hurting. And the scripture says that they were there at midnight singing praises unto God. And as they were singing, the place was shaken and the prison doors were open. And the jailer thought that all of the prisoners were going to escape. And he was getting ready to kill himself, because if they escaped, the Romans were going to kill him anyway. Paul said, "Lo, don't kill yourself. We're all here." Verse 29. Then he called for a light. That is the guard, the prisoner, prison guard. He called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now, here's what I want you to see. In the middle of the night, Paul and Silas were singing at midnight. And so the prison doors were burst open by an angel of the Lord. And then the man came running. And it must have been 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning by the time they got all that straightened out and Paul started preaching the gospel to them. 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. But to whom did he preach? To us, that man? No, what did it say? Him and his family. You know what that guy had to do? When Paul and Silas got ready to share the gospel, he ran back in the house, said, "Y'all get up. Come on and hear this." And he brought his whole family with him. 2 o'clock in the morning, brought them out to hear Paul preach the word to them. And when they heard it, they believed. And when they believed, they were baptized right there, 2 o'clock in the morning. That's a man. He didn't just get it for himself. He said to his family, what? "Come on with me. If you got to lose a little sleep, you got to lose a little sleep. But you come on, because this is important. This will change your life. This will bring you into contact with God, and you will never be the same." Father, that's your job. That's your job. Your job, catch it. Your job is not to allow your family to coast through life just enjoying themselves. Did you know that? Your job is not just to have children who are in soccer and in dance and play football and play softball, and they have just 10,000 extracurricular activities. But if they were, God forbid, to have to stand before the judgment seat of God tomorrow, they would be lost, because you've attended to everything else in their lives except their spiritual well-being. I've shared with you before one of the things that's heavy on my heart. I drive by on the way over here several fields on Sunday morning, and I will look out there and see the soccer teams playing, or in the fall, the football teams playing. These little kids on Sunday morning. And I always think, what message does that father think he's giving to his child when he puts him out there to play football on Sunday morning instead of putting him in church? What message does he think, what lesson does he think that child is learning? You can tell him all you want. Church is important, you should go to church. But if you put him out there to play a sport during the time church is meeting, what lesson has he learned? You see, God set it up for parents to lead their children so that the children will follow. And Father, that's what God expects of you. Here's the third thing that we need to lead our families in. Look over in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 at verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, that is when the king had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness, so that they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." What I want you to see is this. Who was it? Who was in the army? It was not this big professional army that they had. He appointed people to the army, appointed people to the praise team that went out ahead of the army. And who were these people? They were just the men of the nation. In other words, these fathers made themselves available for service. When the time came and the need arose to serve the Lord, they didn't hang back and say, "Let somebody else do it." They stepped forward. Went out to where the enemy was, ready to fight the battle in whatever way God wanted them to fight. They were ready to serve. They taught their children how to serve God by their example. Can I step on some more toes here? A few weeks ago in Bible study, I was asking for some volunteers. And I needed a man and I needed a woman to come up and just kind of role play. And so we had a couple of women come right up. You know who it was I had to kind of plead with to get them to move? Can anybody guess? If your toes are hurting, then well, okay. Now, why would I even say that? Because men are supposed to lead the way. Understand this, church. When men sit back and let the women do it, things are out of order. And that's why I get on our men. You are supposed to be the first one to move. And when that doesn't happen, you know, I kind of step on a few toes. Because God set it up that way. And ladies, I'm going to talk a little bit in just a moment about what you should be looking for in a man. But let me tell you something. That's one something you should be looking for. Amen? If you got a man who is willing to let you do it all, guess what will happen after you marry him? He will let you do it. Amen? He will let you do everything you are willing to do, and he will sit back and enjoy himself. Praise God. Amen? And so that's why we're trying to train our men here at Covenant Community Church to take their God-appointed place of leadership. Not of bossing, but of leading the way. Going first. Taking the spiritual initiative and saying, "Come on and follow me as I follow Christ." Let's talk about some lessons that all of us can learn. Fathers, this is what God has called you to. But you know what I've observed about many men? They do not feel equipped to be the spiritual leaders of their home. And in many cases, because in our society, women have been more in the church than the men have been. In many cases, a husband will look at his wife and see somebody that seems to him to be spiritually above him. And therefore, he feels intimidated about taking or attempting to take spiritual leadership in his home. Man, you do not need to be intimidated. This is the calling that God has placed on your life. And you know all God expects of you. Take it a step at a time. When it comes time to eat dinner and somebody is going to pray for the meal, guess who can start off? Amen? When it comes time, it's Saturday night, and you know that on Sunday morning, oh, it's such a rush for those kids and your wife trying to get out to get to church. Who is it that needs to say, "Well, let's make sure that the kids have their clothes laid out. Let's make sure that breakfast is all set up so we can eat and get out in the morning. And let's make sure we get to church on time." Whose job is that? Is it the mom's job? That's the way it's worked, isn't it? But who does God expect to take the lead? You see, you don't have to be a spiritual giant. But you do have to be committed. You have to be committed to taking the role that God has assigned to you. No, you don't have to know everything that's in the Bible, but you have to be committed to letting God teach you out of His Word. Amen? So men, don't be intimidated by your wife. She may know more than you, but God has assigned you a position of leadership. You start taking those steps of leadership. And wife, you need to encourage your husband. You need to encourage him in that leadership role. Every time he begins to move out and take some steps of spiritual leadership, you need to just applaud him. Let him know how much you appreciate that. Let him know how much you admire him for being the spiritual man that he is. Now, all he may have done is say, well, I guess I'm supposed to pray, Jesus wept, amen. Guess what? It's a start. Amen? You need to encourage him. You need to build him up. And you do not need to push him. Wives, can I tell you a secret here? Do you know the best way to get your husband to dig in his heels and act like a mule? Just try to tell him what to do. Amen? Just try to push him to do even what it is you think he ought to do. You may even be able to prove it out of the Word of God. This is what you're supposed to do. And you know what that man will do? He will dig his heels in and say, it'll be a cold day in a warm place before you see me doing that. Amen. So don't push him. Pray for him. Pray for him. You get alone before God yourself and say, Lord, I am committed to seeing my husband be the spiritual leader in our home. And some of the things that I have been doing, because he hasn't done that, I'm just going to pray, Lord, that you will move on him and help him to take that role. And every time he does anything that moves in that direction, I'm going to let him know how much I appreciate that. Boys, you need to take spiritual leadership as your standard for manhood. Just like we don't have any fatherhood classes in our society, we don't have any manhood classes. And you know what many of our young men are learning about what it means to be a man? It's how many babies you can make. Well, understand, it does not take a man to make babies. All it takes is somebody who was born a male. Amen? You can do that with no education. You can do it with no thought. Because, can I divert for one more time here? Ladies, you let them do this. You can have the grungiest, stupidest male, and there will be a female someplace that says, come on into my bedroom. It's not supposed to be that way. Ladies, you should have a standard of what you expect. Amen? And if they don't come up to standard, guess what? Let them keep on cruising. See, young man, you need to take as your standard of what it means to be a man, to be somebody who is equipped and ready to take spiritual leadership in your family. That means that right now you got to start preparing yourself. Amen? You got to start being the one that says, okay, I'm going to get into the Word of God. I'm going to learn how to pray. I'm going to learn what it means to lead a family so that they have that connection to God and are growing in Him. Girls, that's what you need to be looking for. Understand, God's command is that a woman, a wife, be submitted to her husband. Now, you know, we talk about the gospel, and the gospel means good news, amen? And I know some women are saying, that ain't good news. But that's the way God set it up. So young lady, when you start looking out at young men that you are seeing as possibilities for your life, you need to ask yourself this question. Am I willing to submit my life to this man? Am I willing to let him be the leader in our home? Am I willing to follow where this man is going to lead me? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, so please, ladies, don't raise your hand. But how many ladies, at some point in your life, if you had asked yourself those questions, would have made some different choices about the men you were running around with? Do not raise your hand. But young lady, you now have the opportunity to make the right choice the first time. Amen? And so you need to ask yourself this question. Is this a young man whom I can have confidence in as the spiritual leader of my home, who will lead me and my children to the place God wants us to be? Understand, young lady, even while you're dating, if you are the one who always takes the lead in spiritual things, you are on dangerous ground in that relationship. Amen? Now, this has been pretty rough, hasn't it, on fathers? You know why? Because it's a tough standard. It's a tough standard. And I'm going to tell you a secret here. Men, you can't do it. You can't do it. You don't have what it takes. Now, I'm not looking out at you and pointing my finger at you and saying you don't have what it takes. What I'm saying is this. No man has what it takes. You know what the secret is? Go back over to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Look at verse 15. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. Here it is. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Hallelujah. Man, you can't do it. It's too much for you. I know it is. But guess what? God can do it through you. God can do it through you. If you submit yourself to God, put yourself at His disposal. Say, Lord Jesus, I know I can't handle this. This is too much for me. I do feel intimidated about trying to take spiritual leadership in my home. I don't know the Bible, Lord. I don't know how to pray. But I present myself to you and I say, Lord, if you will teach me, I will follow you and I will do what you call me to do. And I'll take it one step at a time. And you know what? If you'll put yourself at His disposal, He will lead you into the place you need to be. But it starts with you being willing to take a commitment before God that says, Lord, I want to be the man and the father that you created me to be. And I am willing to pay the price to do it. You want to know what God's expectation of a father is? Let me give it to you one more time. God expects fathers to be the spiritual leaders in their household who on a continuing basis will bring their wives and children into an encounter with God that will change their lives forever. That's your role. And if you'll get on your knees before God and ask Him to teach you how to carry out your role, He'll do it.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcomchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.